There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are, live in the barn in the northeastern part of Oklahoma. It's a balmy 28 degrees outside here in Oklahoma, and still dry. No rain, no sleet, no snow, just a little cooler. Sun is down. One of these nights where the sky is clear and the stars are really bright. The stars are always brighter in the wintertime than they are in the summertime. Okay, today's date is the 15th of January, 2013. If you've just logged on and you've never heard Jim's show before, this is the Abiding Presence. And yes, we're in a barn, a real barn full of horses, cats, mice, lots of dust. And there's Jim, myself, and we've got a dog, chocolate Labrador Retriever, named Ranger, who you'll be hearing at the end of the show, here with us. Okay. There's this uniformity. There's this concern, and there's these limits and boundaries when it comes to your worship. You're supposed to look a certain way, speak a certain way, pray a certain way, sing certain songs on certain days and in certain buildings and structures. This isn't new. This has been literally happening for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. That doesn't mean that it's right. I want to pose a question to you. Does it really matter if your relationship with God is stronger or weaker or any more productive than, say, the other person in the room? Who really cares about that? Because if you do, possibly you're mistaken. We're all made in His image, right? We all have the freedom to choose our own path, correct? So that if you are measuring your enlightenment, if you're measuring your effectiveness of prayer and enjoying the love of God, otherwise known as the Holy Spirit and grace, what else really matters? What concerns should you have? Because if you're worried about someone else's relationship or how they progress or their productivity, then you're off your game. Because it's all about you and your relationship with God. If you have brothers or sisters, or if you have multiple children, you have an advantage to this philosophical point of view on Christianity. Because if your brother or your sister tells you to say something or to be a certain way, and when you're dealing with your parents, you'd say, mind your own business. I'm an individual. It's none of your concern. It's between me and Mom, me and Dad. Well, that's the relationship we have with Christ. He's our Father, yes? Now, let's think of Christianity like you're making muffins. Now, let's say that making muffins is Christianity and making bacon cookies is the flesh, is the world. And we know by Scripture that there is nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world. Which means, and this is so difficult for me to say this, cookies are bad. I really should have picked another scenario. Now, think of this for a moment. If you're making muffins, does it matter how many you make? No. Does it matter the ingredients, whether it's an oatmeal or a bran or a blueberry or banana nut? It really doesn't matter, does it? Because the assignment is to what? Make a muffin. Make muffins. But here's the problem. You take some of your batter and you want to make a cake or a cupcake or a cookie or a bagel. Now you got a problem because you're starting to get off the point. You're supposed to make muffins and only muffins. And cookies and bagels and pies and cakes, even though they seem good, they're off the message. Because you're supposed to be all about muffins. Now, just because your muffin has oatmeal and chocolate chips and raisins in it, that doesn't mean that your muffin is any better than your partner's muffin that's just plain with nothing in it. They're both muffins. That's Christianity. The only concern is to make sure that you're on the page being productive and making what you're supposed to, which is a good person and to have a relationship with your spirit. Because anything else just doesn't fit. And it's real absolute. Jim, this is actually backed up in Scripture, isn't it?
It is. And good evening, everyone. I trust you're doing well where you're at. We're going to have a great night tonight. And I like these opening comments. And they certainly are very productive for our radio show and where we're headed by helping every one of you to begin to progress and increase in your relationship with God. I know I am. Over the course of all these months that we've been doing this and weeks and shows, my relationship with God is increasing. And I know the same is said with BJ. So backing this up, I'm going to read a scripture to you. And it's found over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So I'm going to take this over to scripture here that I think I've got the Message Bible. I'm going to look at this. That's a good scripture, though, for what we're talking about. And let me take this to the Message, and we're going to get this to you right here. All right. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 12 in the Message Bible says, my computer's just a little slow, it says here, "We're not, understand, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they're our superiors. We wouldn't dare do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite missed the point. We aren't making outrageous claims here. We're sticking to the limits of what God has set us for. But there can be no question that those limits reach to and include you." So I want to go back to this. It says, "We're not, understand, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they're our superiors. We wouldn't do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point." And that's exactly what happens. And I can back this up by years and years of having been in religious circles. This is exactly what happens in the church. People find greater solace in comparing themselves among themselves than they do in beginning to excel in their own personal relationship.
The building in which I met you, I used to give you examples about a year ago, and I'd say, they have reserved seats. There's reserved seating, and it says, "Don't sit here." And they've got nice little velvet slip covers that go over the back of the chair because those are reserved for certain people.
Right.
And I said, so if you've just come into this building for the first time, and there's not a lot of places to sit, and you see these seats that are dead center right up front, what would you think?
Sure.
That there's something special, elitist, right, about those people. And I said that is counterproductive to being a Christian, because what is humbling about having a reserved seat? What is humbling about being pointed out as special or different? There isn't. Because the sheer fact that you're thought of in that way, given a name or title, is part of the problem.
Yeah, it is part of the problem. And we've seen that for years where people feel like they can't succeed. In fact, the connotation actually is so counterproductive for success. I was sharing this with someone today, actually, when I was getting my hair done and cut. And it kind of sounds funny getting hair done. I didn't have it done. I had it cut. But anyhow.
Yeah, you're freaking me out over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It was all up and up. So anyhow, while I was getting my hair cut, I was sharing some of this thought. And that's exactly the point. So
yeah.
Much counterproductivity towards an individual's relationship goes to the whole, everybody conclusively as a whole, only going so far. And then here's what actually puts the lid on your productivity. The message is misconstrued and manipulated to make ministers look special or elitist, as
yeah.
though we have something so special that we can't even... we can't even get down there and fellowship with people that are not ministers.
I brought this up to a minister that's got a congregation of about 500 people, and he argued with me. He says, okay, he says, then who do you think is the most important person in the room? And I says, person? I mean, God is prem, you know. And he says, well, okay, well then who do you think, where does the priority lie? And I go, well, that's easy. And he looked at me, he goes, well, who is it? And I says, well, whoever's in charge of soap, toilet paper, and paper towels in the bathroom, they've got my vote. And whoever's in charge of cookies. I says, other than that, I really don't care about anything, because that's what's really important after God, is that there's soap, paper towels, and toilet paper in the bathroom, and that there's snacks.
And what do you have to say?
He literally said, well, what about me? And I said, well, what about you? And this is what he said. He said, well, this is my church, and I'm in charge of this congregation. I should be right after Jesus.
Wow.
And I said, you know, when you say right after Jesus, do you know what that makes me think? And he goes, what? And I says, well, everything was dusty. So when you say you're right after Jesus, I just think you're a cloud of dust on the road that him and his little buddies were traveling on. Well, then, I don't know why, but he didn't want to talk to me anymore.
Hmm.
Apparently, you know.
Well, you know, I know how some of this works, and it's what I would call the politics of religion or the church. And a real church wouldn't have the politics, but nonetheless, this is exactly what begins to happen. But the productivity of individuals is stymied because of
yeah.
it. I know places where they literally tell their staff, do not fellowship with the people.
Yeah.
Because they're lower than us.
Yeah.
And we can't get down there and fellowship because it will hurt our anointing.
Yeah. You know, I think a real church, when they pass the plate, it would either have Rice Krispie squares and everybody gets one,
yeah.
or it would just have a bunch of money and you take what you need.
Right.
To me, that's passing the plate. When there's someone up front and they have a really big fancy bucket and they just pass it from row to row, and either it's full of Rice Krispie squares or barbecued potato chips. You know, we got to be flexible here.
Right.
I don't want people to think I'm singular in
one
my
or
thoughts.
The other.
One or the other. I don't want people to think I'm singular. Either Rice Krispie squares, barbecued potato chips, or it's just a bucket of money. And if you need $5, you take $5. If you take $100, you take $100. Because if it's a church and they're all Christians, I promise you, that bucket will always be full of Rice Krispie Squares, barbecued potato chips, and cash. Because there's nothing in Scripture that says God needs money.
Yeah, in fact, you and I have talked about our idea of actually passing the plate, because, you know, from the Scriptures, we certainly do see some wonderful laws of giving and receiving, and God put those there for benefit. But here's what you and I have talked about passing the plate and having projects that we literally give that money into.
The building fund.
That go toward, no, not the building fund, that go toward.
Well, I nothing, never build anything.
The community that begins to repair people's homes, begins to speak into people's lives. Not for the church, but for the community.
My neighbor gave $15,000 to the place that he worships for their building fund. And there isn't even a new doorknob on the building. I don't know what they did with $15,000, but they didn't change a bulb, a doorknob, a hinge. I mean, they didn't even give it a coat of paint. So I don't know what $15,000 got him. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we received something that perplexed me. And it was when you got to the ranch, and I said,
right. Right.
I said, we got a problem. We got something here. Here's the deal. There is somebody by the name of Ken and Lori. And I don't want to say their last name because they didn't give me permission. But Ken and Lori listen to the show. They live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they sent me a check in the P.O. box. I went to the P.O. box today. And, well, they sent it in December. But, you know, the 11th, and today's the 15th, so that's pretty good for me checking mail.
Ken and Lori, it's possible. It could have been June. Sorry.
No, I was very proud of myself that I went in January and some, you know. And so I have this check for $100. And I thought, what do we do with $100? I thought maybe I should say thank you and send it back. Maybe I should tear it up. But here's what we're going to do with your $100. All right. It literally cost me $100 a month for the text messaging service. So I've decided this is what I'm going to do. Tonight is the first week. So for 4 weeks, every week,
right,
I'm going to say thank you to Ken and Lori, and their check has just paid for instant text messaging on the show. And we get instant text messages, and I'm going to tell everybody how to text message in a second. But so from now on, if you text message the show, for the next 4 weeks, you need to thank Ken and Lori in Tulsa. And if they want their last name mentioned, they're going to have to tell me. But see, yep, this is what I'm talking about. Because it goes to a frame of mind. Because that's what being a Christian is. We talked about it on last week's show. You have a feeling. And your feeling leads to a thought. And that thought leads to an action. And that action leads to a reaction in the world. Or it leads to a reaction in God's world, in heaven, in grace. It's not about where you go or what you do or how you dress or who you are. Because the real you doesn't even acknowledge any of those things.
Right, that's exactly right.
And see, this is what perplexes me a lot, is because if someone's listening right now to your show, Jim, and they've just said, yes, that's right, I agree with that, well then, that shouts from every single barn in the country that if they agree, then they've just agreed they're a spirit being. And so if they agree with this, then that means that anything that has to do with the flesh, has to do with the world, literally is in your way. Not only is it a waste of time or money or energy, it's causing you, it's a block. You know, whether it's a concrete wall, or it's a wooden shutter, or it's those little plastic blinds that you turn the little dealy, or you pull the strings and it close.
Right.
All three of those things do one thing. They keep you away from the light.
Maybe one's concrete, one's wood, and one's plastic, but they all do the same thing. They keep the light from shining through the window. So whether it's cancer or arthritis or a round of golf or some competitiveness nature because someone got a promotion at work and you didn't, they're all doing the same thing. They're all blocking the light of God. It doesn't matter because they all do the same thing. They get in the way.
Well, especially when you look at where people are at, where they don't know, and at least their life doesn't show that they're a spirit being. This is where it's real critical, especially at this level. And this is one of the reasons why it's so imperative that you really begin to spend a lot of time on this issue, and that is remembering that you're a spiritual being, beginning to look at every day through the eye of your spirit. What would a spiritual being in connection with God do about this? How would I react? How would I not react? Putting aside emotion, the things that connect you to this world, and looking at something with eyes that are able to see beyond just the trees and see the forest and see the big picture and how it relates to your relationship with God. And as we begin to do these things, that's where you begin to learn, well, that right there is not helping me. That's a hindrance. My time that I spend there, I could be spending it differently. In fact, that's where you really, really need to corral all the different activities that you're involved in and begin to look at them through the eye of your spirit. How much of that is helping me? How much of that is hurting me? You know, it's interesting, too, because there's things that we get involved with where it doesn't, our time thinking about it doesn't just stop with the hour or the two that we're involved with something, or even the day or two that we're involved with something. The repercussions, like throwing a pebble into a pond, the ripples in the pond continue possibly for hours or days, or for days or weeks, or for weeks and months. And this is true about really anybody who's immersed in the world. You have things that are overlapping, things from days ago that are still concerning you that you've not laid down overlap into things today that concern you. And before you know it, there's no sense of peace in your life, and you don't sense the grace of God. And it's not because it's not there. It's just you've covered yourself and layered yourself in things that are of the world. And this show is all about helping people to discover what the layers are so that we can dismiss those things and stop giving them value in our life. And as we do, the thing that's so interesting is almost immediately you begin to experience God.
Yeah, I want to do a little housekeeping here. I want to talk about instant text messaging because Ken and Lori are paying for it for a month. I think that's really nice. That's what we're using it for. Okay, Ken and Lori are, it's their text messaging for the next 4 weeks. This is the way it works. It's very simple. The first word of your message, you need to type J-I-M-B-J, Jim B-J. No space, no capitals, just J-I-M-B-J. Jim B.J., I'm listening. Jim B.J., hello. Jim B.J., this is my question. That needs to be the first word of your text message. Then you can type as much as you want, and you send it to a very simple 5-digit code. It's not a 7-digit telephone number. There's no area code. You don't have to put a 1 in front of it. All you do is your first word is Jim B.J., and then it's just 69302. It's just a 5-digit text number, 69302, and the first thing is Jim B.J., first word, and then you send that to 69302. That's the number you send it to. Emails, The Abiding Presence, all one word, no capitals, no spaces, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Now, we just received an email about 37 minutes ago. It says, Dear Jim and BJ, please don't use my name tonight. I've written in the past, I have a terrible problem with the fear of dying. Right now I came down with some kind of bug, and I implore you to pray for me tonight. But be led of the Lord, I am sick and I feel that I'm dying. Brother Jim, you always prayed for me in Newtown, and Oklahoma. I promise that this will be the last time I ask for prayer. Maybe my disobedience about moving back to Tulsa is causing these weekly attacks. Fever, pain, weakness, etc. I believe I can be delivered completely tonight. Thank you so much. I love you both. And then she signed her name.
Okay.
Okay. What is your opinion of this email? Because I got one.
Well, the complication that I see out of this is her whole frame of mind. It has nothing to do with Tulsa, coming back to Oklahoma, or staying in Newtown. It has to do with the frame of mind at this particular point. You're literally frazzled in your thinking, and there has to be stability in your thoughts, and it comes from understanding what really is of God and what's not, and His love, and there's confusion.
I think this poor woman is just so mentally discombobulated, is the best way I can say it, because, I mean, she's taken two steps forward, one step
there
back.
You go. Right.
I mean, she's talking about God, she's talking about prayers, and then she's talking about being disobedient, she's talking about catching a bug, she's afraid of dying. I mean, there is like so many distractions in this small little five-sentence email here, because first of all, what are you afraid of? Whether you're afraid of dying, or you're afraid of heights, or you're afraid of elevators, or you're afraid of spiders, it doesn't matter. Fear is fear. And the fact that you have a fear means that you're really not sure that God is in your life. Because grace, one of the first things grace does is takes fear away, to show you that there's no tangible things that can hurt your spirit. You know, you say you have a little bug. Well, what you have just said is that you don't even know what's wrong. This is what you've told me, that you get a little fever, you got a little pain, and you got a little weakness. Because fever, pain, and weakness is just, you've just told me that fever, pain, and weakness is more powerful than God.
Right.
Because that's what you're praying, that's what you're focusing on. You're worshiping fear and you're worshiping sickness. Where is there room in that mathematical equation to worship God?
Well, plus look at the.
And I don't want to seem rude, and I don't want to seem harsh, but the only way that someone is going to make a screeching halt and change direction, in which that's what repent means, is that you can't hold their hand and pat them on the back and tell them they're going to be okay. Because unless you tell them they're absolutely wrong and that they're screwed up and they're miscombobulated, what motivation would they have? I mean, that's like saying it's okay to smoke cigarettes because you may or may not get cancer. What motivation is there not to smoke? But if you tell somebody that if they smoke a pack of cigarettes every day, sooner or later their lungs are going to die, that's pretty matter of fact. They can make a conscious choice.
Right, sure.
I want this woman to stand up and be a woman and make a conscious choice and say, no, it's God or the highway.
Right. And being in Oklahoma or being in Connecticut.
Who cares?
Has absolutely nothing
to
do with it.
Is that where Newtown is?
Yeah, in Connecticut. Has nothing to do with it. Because God's everywhere, and His grace is everywhere. So limiting what God can do and has done for you in your life based on a location is, again, denying the grace that's actually there.
Yep.
So this is really a great time for you, and I know we've really picked this email apart, but you gave us the opportunity to do it. It's a perfect opportunity for you to really do an assessment. Where am I in my relationship with God? How real will I allow Him to be? And can I get myself out of the way?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the first Ken and Lori dedicated text message.
Okay.
Remember, Jim BJ is the first word, J-I-M-B-J. It has to be the first word of your text message. And then you send that to 69302. Okay, we got an email here that I need to address. It's from a lady in New Jersey, and she says that she sent us a box of Butter Crunch, and we were supposed to have it in time for Christmas. And I told her that if I received it, I would get back to her. And I'm going to make sure she knows. her first name is Diana. Diana, we never received that box of Butter Crunch.
Yeah.
What is Butter Crunch? Is that popcorn with like some kind of glaze on it with peanuts? Is that Butter Crunch?
I don't know exactly. I mean, I know they call that a lot of different things, that kind of popcorn that's like that. But
I mean, you know.
I mean, put it this way. It sounds good.
I mean.
And I think I would like it. I don't think you would, though.
I don't know. Well, God, that's so, you know. See, this is what I go through here. He's limiting on snacks. But no, Diane, I'm sorry. We didn't get it. And then she sends a really nice email here, and she talks about how, you know, she's been on dialysis for 20 years,
okay.
And she's had some misfortunes with pets dying, and she talks about being close to God and then away from God. It's that in 1 foot in and 1 foot out.
Right.
And I think that this is where a lot of people really struggle, is because they'll have these little brief samples, these little brief tastes of grace.
Right.
But yet they're fleeting. And then it's so frustrating because they don't know how to get back to it. And see, that's what negative energy likes. They like you to think that it's fleeting, that it's momentary, it's not permanent, because once you have it, you always have it. It's not a struggle to get it back. That's the problem. The dramas of the day,
right,
make you think like it's literally impossible to get enough of it to go around to solve all your problems. And that's a creation of the individual. I mean, you can't blame God because you don't have enough grace, and you really can't blame the devil for not having any grace, because neither one of them have anything to do with it. It's about you choosing what you're going to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Real good. This is a great scripture for that, BJ. It says here, let's see, 1 Peter and chapter 2. And verse 1, it says, this is the Message Bible now, so you gotta look at the words. It says, so clean house, make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. I like the point here where it says you've had a taste, now drink deep, which is going beyond the 1 foot in and the 1 foot out to a commitment to something.
Conviction.
Yeah, commitment, conviction. It's all moving forward. It's progress.
It's about making a choice and sticking with it and going the distance, going farther.
Right. And I like this because I actually think it fits right here for this email. Just as a means of helping you to see. You've tasted of what God is all about. Well, don't just taste it. Drink deep. Go all the way in. But you can't do that while you're paying attention to everything that's around you.
Right.
There has to be a separation. This is something you and I have talked about before the show tonight. And this is something that is, you know, all right, let me back up. Having been around healing and people having need, and having experienced some serious things myself, you're in a world where you have to have answers. Most people are not in a world where they have to have answers, because they surround themselves with enablers, things of the world where they can get, like we've talked about before, where you've got your receipt, you can take it back because it's just not that big of a deal.
Well,
you know, if I buy the wrong thing, it's okay. I've got my receipt, I'll go back, they'll give me my money back, I get the right thing. And you surround yourself with that kind of mentality, which is all that does is it adds to you wanting plan B or plan C when it comes to God.
It's like I said about people that are really overweight. They don't have to make a choice of conviction. They don't have to be committed to being healthy, because they can just they can finance a surgery that ties a knot in their stomach so their stomach doesn't hold any food. they can go to their doctor and get a prescription for diet pills. There's no commitment to lose weight. They don't even have to change their lifestyle.
Well, really, they can eat the same foods that got them that way. They just don't eat as much.
That's right.
And their stomach doesn't actually process as much.
What about that says that you want to be healthy?
Right.
It's a shortcut. It's a Band-Aid. Well, apply that to pain. Why do you need God in your life? Why do you need grace when a prescription takes the pain away? What motivation is there to have a relationship with God when you know that a common cold only lasts for about a week?
Right.
And you can take pills to make you sleep, and you can take pills to take away the sneezing and the runny nose. Where in that equation is there any faith or conviction or commitment to grace in God? There isn't. But yet they're handy. And you know they work. So what you're saying is, you're not saying that medicine is good. What you're really saying is that you can pop a pill, have a surgery, and it's easier for you to do those things than it is to try to have a relationship with God.
Right, right.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, well, I've got some scripture that'll help back that up too, that this whole thing isn't about all these, you could say, benefits. It comes down to what type of relationship do you have. And before I get to that, let me say this. This is an interesting time to talk about this because, you know, really and truly, the people that make the kind of commitment and have the kind of conviction to allow God to be in their lives usually are the individuals that get backed into a corner where there's no other way. Something happens in their life where they're literally on rock bottom and they've got nowhere else to turn, and they turn toward God with all their heart. But as long as individuals have multiple ways of bringing some sort of comfort into a bad situation, be it of medicine, be it of people that you can go to get advice from, one way or another, but you're not going to God, none of these things equip you to have a relationship with God, but all of them continue to enable you to literally fail with God, but try in your own efforts to succeed in this world, you're never going to be able to have a real relationship with the Lord. That just spells failure 101. No. There has to be a separation.
Yeah.
But that separation, this is what I wanted to get to earlier when I was kind of bringing up this subject and have you kind of make some thoughts about it, BJ. That separation has to bring you to a place of humility. Because there's no other way to receive the grace of God
unless you're humble.
As long as the pride of your heart and the stubbornness
vanity,
to have your own way.
Ego.
Yes. As long as that is central. And you know, folks, listen, you may be hearing me, but I really want you to hear me, because this is the very thing that hinders marriages. This is the very thing that hinders people succeeding in their job. It's what hinders them for sure for succeeding with God. This is a terrible thing to have such stubborn pride that you'd rather not admit to your wrong and cry out for help, but you'd rather continue to stay as you are. There's nothing about that actually speaks of Christianity.
No, there isn't. Just got a good morning and a hello from Marina in the United Kingdom.
Oh, good.
So apparently her alarm clock went off and she's listening to the show.
Text or email?
Email.
Oh, good.
Got an email, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Still waiting for a instant text message on the Ken and Lori text messaging.
That's right, for 4 more weeks.
For 4 more weeks, 3 more shows after this one, and I hope they're okay with that.
Yeah, and you
know, I don't even know if they're listening. I mean, they might send an email that says, "What are you doing? Send our money back."
Will that be okay? We'll do it.
I would.
We're really doing this not to be funny. We're doing it out of being very grateful that someone would send in $100 and it didn't have where it needed to be designated to, and that's the reason why we just looked at
I
each
just
other.
Picked something
what
and I
do,
said,
what do we do?
And I said, why don't I just pay the text message?
And when you said that immediately, it's like, yes, that's perfect, because we're not looking for personal gain out of this. We want to help people.
No.
This is about the show, and so we're grateful for this $100.
It helps. And I think that for the next four shows, that everybody
it's a great idea.
That everybody will know that Ken and Lori in Tulsa, Oklahoma, their street starts with the letter Q, as in Quaker Oats. That only I would come up with that.
You that crack yourself up.
I do. Yeah, well, you're laughing, but, you know, and hopefully that'll be okay with everybody. All right. Let's talk about humbling and repentance.
Yes.
Because you can't have a change of heart, and if you don't have a change of heart, you're not going to change your mind, and if you don't change your mind, you're not going to change the things that are happening in your life. For every cause, there's an effect. For every action, there's a reaction. It's like gravity. Something goes up, it's going to come down. All right. Now, to truly be humble means that you have hit rock bottom. You are not trying to justify. You're not making excuses. You're not saying, well, if I only would have known, you're not Monday morning quarterbacking it. You're not doing any of those things. You don't have to feel guilty. You just have to acknowledge that it's wrong. Because all sins are forgiven, which means all your choices are forgiven. But until you acknowledge that it's a bad choice, how can God forgive it? So that if you don't think you've made a bad choice, if you don't own it, and you don't become humble, then there's no connection to God. How could you ever have pain leave your body? Where is there even room to have a prayer answered in what I'm explaining to you now? There isn't. If you don't think that it's a sin, if you don't think it's a bad choice, if you can justify it, if you can make an excuse for it, it's like the mom says to the child, well, if all your friends are going to jump off the bridge, you're going to jump off the bridge too? And then you complain about having a broken leg? Where is there room in there for grace? The biggest proof that God exists is, unfortunately, our freedom to make really destructive decisions for ourselves. To consciously drink alcohol and get arrested for a DUI. To consciously know that you're sitting on a bar stool in an Indian casino pushing buttons and you're not going to be able to pay the phone bill. To decide to buy a case of beer instead of sandwiches, breakfast cereal, milk and eggs and butter for your family. To consciously choose to be intimate with someone else than the person that you've committed to. Unless you agree that you didn't have a gun to your head and you did those things, how can you repent? How can you change direction? And how can it be forgiven? Because you're not trying to acknowledge that there's even anything wrong.
Yeah, well, this is something that's very important for everybody. And I'll just give you some personal testimony here. And that's where I remember back in 1994, having been thrust into a healing school with one of the major ministries around this area. And, you know, I'm wet behind the ears and just trying to, you know, get some type of direction on what to do. At that particular time, I just had a few sermons to my name, and I just didn't want to sound stupid up in front of everybody. So I'm preaching the best that I could, but literally nothing's happening. And we're laying hands on everybody. You could say it kind of like some old folks that have said this before. You lay hands on every one of them until the hair comes off their head, and they're still not getting anything. people were dying left and right, and it wasn't until the severity of what we weren't accomplishing that I was able to repent of that. I was able to come right to my very, very end of myself and say, Lord, whatever I'm doing, it's not working, and yet I know I'm supposed to do this. And that's when I prayed a prayer to say, everything that I've learned, just consider me to, at this point, to be ignorant, and you teach me everything I need to learn. It doesn't matter who I've learned it from. You begin to reteach me. And from that moment, grace, I know that now. Then I just was so thrilled because just in a sense, almost subconsciously, I started to see things and to know things. And I started to learn things. And immediately when God began to show me, and what he began to show me was how wrong I was. He didn't show me how wrong people were. He started with me. And when he started with me, immediately things began to change.
Yeah.
But then that's the grace of God. That's the recipe for people's change. But you have to be willing to admit how wrong you were.
Do you remember me? I don't know if you'll recall this or not. It was when I first started going home and you were asking me how I did it. And I said that it's not very pleasant because the first thing that I had to do was I had to realize just what a schmuck I was.
Right.
I mean, I used other words, but I said, you have to really look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm really pretty screwed up. I'm just really not that good of a person. And I said that that's going to be difficult for so many people to do that. And I said, because if you don't do that, it's pretty difficult to have a humbling experience.
Right.
Because everything that makes you feel like you're worthless is of this world.
Right.
Everything that makes you feel bad is of this world. And until you acknowledge those wrongs, until you put yourself in a position to eliminate those things from you, where is there room for God and grace? Now, we just received an email 3 minutes ago, and it says, last week you alluded to explaining what a daily life looks like walking in grace. You never did get to the famous BJ and Jim word pictures explaining what a daily life of grace looks like. How to overcome daily challenges walking in grace. Please don't mention my name. Now, that kind of goes with what we're talking about right now, because if you're concerned with the world, if you're concerned with your body and money and the quality of your life, there is no room for anything else. Because grace and God, they don't want to be in the same room
second
with the world.
Fiddle. Second fiddle. Yep.
You know, it's like you have a boat, and your boat has two seats in it. You're in one, and either the world is going to be in the other one, or God's going to be in the other. You can't compromise and have both. You know, before the show started, Jim. Remember, I said the distractions. You know, I said it used to be that less than 100 years ago, everybody's language, their way of life, everything was dictated by Scripture. The way they treated each other, what they did with their time. And I said it's no longer like that. I says you can go to any large religious organization in the United States of America and someone, you'll hear these things. You won't see us here next Sunday. Why won't you be here next Sunday? Well, you know, it's spring break, and every spring break we take the family somewhere, so we're not going to be here. Well, what you have just said is what? We have chosen to go somewhere for spring break with our kids over worship. That's really what that says. Or, well, we won't be here for the next couple of what do you call it? Sundays? What
right.
would you call it? Sundays,
sure.
Sessions, whatever, get-togethers. And somebody'd say, why? Well, you know, school just let out, and we're taking our family vacation. I won't be here Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and I spend half the day cleaning the house, and the other half is preparing snacks because we have a bunch of people come over. Well, you know, it might sound mean and nasty, and it might sound rude, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. Because what all these things have said is one thing. These things are of more importance, and I have to do them instead of trying to have a relationship with God. And what people don't realize is that when you have a relationship with God, and this goes to this email, when you're walking in grace, you don't care about things that you used to care about. They're not even fleeting thoughts. It isn't like you miss going somewhere or doing something. It's completely out of your mind because you are so happy and you're so pain-free and comfortable and content. When you hear something, you could really care less about it. It literally goes in one ear and out the other because you are now living in the spirit and you're not living in the flesh. Living in the flesh likes Super Bowls. Living in the flesh likes soccer games. Living in the flesh likes Dancing with the Stars. Living in the flesh likes prescription drugs. The spirit doesn't acknowledge these things. That has no connection to them. But what you find out is the closer you become to God, the more you walk in grace, the more that you recall on your daily life is nothing but wonderful and pleasant.
Right, and this goes back to, you know, I got a verse of scripture here.
You think this is helping that email about walking in grace?
Well, I think, and this is
if
where...
If not, he's going to have to email us back or text us.
Well, this is a passage here that we've actually talked about, and again, it goes back to decisions that people make, and it goes back to decisions. Once you've made certain decisions, you'll have other things that you have to make decisions about. I know that doesn't really make sense, but I'll read the email here, this passage, and I think it will. It's about husbands and wives and being married, and Paul's talking about wanting to serve the Lord without distractions. And I'm not trying to say don't be married by any means. I am, and I thank God for my marriage and for my family and for my wife and kids. But I also know that there are some sacrifices that I make where I spend extra time at night, sometimes late at night, sometimes early in the morning, getting up to do what? To spend time with the Lord and continue to keep my connection with God very real and very tangible, because there's things throughout the day that I'm doing with my family. And this is what Paul makes he alludes to over here in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 32 to 35. Notice what it says. But I want you to be without care. And the last part of the verse is, verse of 35 says, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. And this is an example. It's not the only thing, because there's so many things of the world that fit in these categories. I'm going to read that again. Verse 32, the first part says, I want you to be without care. Verse 35, the last part says, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. All right, then let me read an example that Paul gives for what can produce distraction. He said, he who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. And so he's not trying to control people not being married and try to keep everybody from being married. He's letting you know that there are things of life that can produce nothing but many distractions. And you have to be aware of it in order to guard your heart so that your relationship with God is without distraction.
I have brought this up so many times since we've met. When I talk about the distractions of the world, you know, where people want to be good husbands, good wives, and you know, and how they have a Christian responsibility to do that. And I say, no, a Christian responsibility is to live in God's grace and show everybody what a vacation it is and how wonderful it works, because otherwise you get wrapped up in what? Cooking supper and paying bills.
Well, very easy to do that.
And all of a sudden, Christianity becomes something you do on major holidays or once a week. And then they wonder why they have dramas and strife and illness and sickness and financial trouble and all kinds of things. Well, if you stand back as a third person and you look at their life and you count it minute by minute out of every day, out of every week, it's really sad, because you start looking at their thoughts, their feelings, and their actions, and it's like one grain of sand for every dump truck. And it's a dump truck full of sand of the world, and it's one grain of sand for a thought of being a Christian. But yet society and religious organizations, that's all they have to offer. That's what they provide. Just got an email 7 minutes ago. It says, my daughter was recently diagnosed at birth as having Down syndrome. I don't think it's a sickness. I have been healed numerous times myself. I know we are all healed and nothing is really wrong. And in my mind, Downs through not a sickness cannot be part of God's will or plan. I can fight for this. My wife has seen a few relatives die of cancer recently and is skeptical. Do you agree that Downs is healed by Jesus? It is not like having six toes. Do you think things like that just happen? By the way, I love the show. You all have really changed me. I made a decision to focus totally on what you are saying. God bless. And it's signed, Ron. Okay. There's a little forward, backwards to this.
Right.
It says, he's talking about a diagnosis. And he's talking about the way she is. Well, that's part of the problem. You know, that's like me going to the feed store this spring and buying a 55-gallon drum of herbicide because I've got to spray weeds in my pasture. Well, I'm just assuming that there's going to be weeds. And I'm also assuming that I'm going to have to be spraying weeds all summer long, so that I got to spend thousands of dollars on a 55-gallon drum of herbicide for my hay ground. He's talking about a diagnosis. He's identifying his daughter as this diagnosis. You don't have a daughter with Down syndrome. In my mind, you have a daughter, and there's nothing wrong with her. And be thankful for God that there isn't. Because that's commitment. That's conviction.
I think this goes back to, of course.
How would you answer this?
Well, I was going to say, I think this goes back to the way that the world is really leading us down a path, and we're all buying into it. And that is modern science. They're just looking for an opportunity to diagnose something. I mean, they're trying to find something. You just look at right now the science of coming up with new medicines. Well, they're all based on finances. So if they can come up with a new medicine to get people to buy into it, they'll do it. If they can come up with a new disease, they'll do it. And this is something where a spirit has to look at things through the eyes of being spiritual and being a spirit after God's nature. And so again, same thing is true. It's so easy to get wrapped up in this and listen to what a doctor's going to say. Well, why in the world would you? Because the very thing, and see, I have opportunity to see this on a regular basis, going out into the churches and ministering to people. The very growth that they would swear was just there just disappeared. And so what's the real truth about it? I had a young man just this week in our service on Wednesday, and he came in with three knots on his neck, and someone that I had been talking to, and literally within a month and a half, the transformation is wonderful, and I have to take my hat off to him because he actually was listening to the things that we're saying. And that is, he literally sat before me and said, I really have never experienced God's grace before. And I don't really have any experiences to bank on. And so for me, it's very difficult to think that this is real. And that's really where he was at. And there was a lot of fear in him as far as what to do. And you could see the anxiety on his face. And I made one statement to him, and this is one of the reasons why, and it really does, this is answering this question. It really does go back to the reason why, BJ, some of the things that we've said over these of the last year and a half about recognizing the small little things in your life where God's influence is there day by day is an amazing cure for the lack of evidence that you think is there. I asked him one question. I said, in certain services you've been around, when people seem to raise their hand and want to just jump in with all these amazing, what seems like amazing answers, but they still have no evidence of God in their physical body,
right,
for their own healing. I said, does something in you say that's not right? He goes, oh, like every time I want to just like leave or stand up and just say that's wrong. I said, okay, do you know what that is? He said, no. I said, that's grace. Grace is protecting you and helping to teach you. And he was real stunned. And my whole point of saying this is because he began to realize that grace was in his life. And the first thing he did was he literally dismissed that there's any bumps on his neck. And he walks in on Wednesday and he starts stretching in the middle of the service because he's been working out and his muscles were sore. And he just started to stretch and massage his neck because it was sore from working out. And while he did it, he realized they disappeared, and he lifts up his hands and says, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Well, no one ministered to him at all.
People recognize God when one person tips a car over and rescues a baby in an accident. People recognize grace and God when someone runs into a burning building and carries someone out. People recognize negative energy, hell, Satan, whatever you want to call it, when someone murders or steals or lies or abuses animals or something. They recognize the big things. The biggest obstacle is the smallest. People don't realize that a little white lie, that a dirty look, getting in front of somebody to make sure that you buy the last one that's on the shelf, a negative thought that leads to a negative word, spreading a rumor, talking behind somebody's back, not realizing that you got away with a dollar extra from the checkout counter, going ahead and getting those x-rays done to prove that God did fix something that isn't even supposed to be wrong. Not noticing that when you're carrying something heavy and you stumble but you don't fall. The near miss of somebody running a red light and there was no accident. There's a bad storm that comes through your town and there's all kinds of damage, but nothing is damaged at your house. People don't acknowledge the smallest of sin, and they don't acknowledge the smallest of grace.
Right.
And that's really all there is. I wonder if people can hear Ranger right now. She's got some major dreams, and she's laying down by Jim on the floor, and I'm picking it up through your microphone.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah. I mean, could you hear it?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if people can hear Ranger, because she's having some serious dog dreams
right
now.
She's running after a coyote or something.
She's coyote, rabbit. She's herding horses or cows. Ranger's working in her sleep. But see, folks, this is what we're talking about. If you want to know what it's like to walk in grace, you literally should lose count of the things that God does in your life every day. I'll give you an example. I didn't get a garden hose completely drained last night. So when I did chores this morning and had to fill up water tanks for the horses, ice came out of the tank. There was enough water pressure that ice came out of the end of the garden hose. I said, thanks, Grace. I appreciate it.
Right. It should have busted.
It should have been plugged. No water. The hose should have been. I would have had to put the hose in the tractor or the truck or bringing it in the house until it warmed up. I thanked Grace for that. I was carrying a bale of hay, and I tripped over some frozen horse manure, and I didn't fall. I said, thanks, Grace. All the horses came up in a timely fashion tonight. I didn't have to go out in the pasture looking for for someone who's dilly-dallying trying to get more grass before they're closed in for the night. I thanked Grace for chores going well. I went into town today. I thanked Grace for no accidents, no tickets. I thanked Grace that the bread was fresh baked in the grocery store. Because either I have a chance to acknowledge everything good in my life, or I can ignore it. Because the more you acknowledge Grace, the more you're thinking about your spirit, the more you're thinking about God, the less negative thoughts you're going to have. The less negative thoughts you have, the less negative feelings you're going to have. The less negative feelings you have,
that's right,
the less negative actions you're going to have. The less negative actions you have, the less negative reactions you're going to have. This is extremely simple. How does this not equate? If you keep the bottom of your shoes clean, you're not going to track anything into the house. If you have good thoughts and good actions, you're not going to have anything to feel guilty or bad about. There's going to be room in your life for God. Somewhere in the book, it's got to talk about this.
Well, it does over in Philippians.
Well, while Jim is looking this up, I want to remind everybody, you know what's weird? We have not heard from Minnesota or Atlanta. We have not gotten any instant text messages. Well, I'm real surprised.
Well,
remember, the first word of your text message is J-I-M-B-J, Jim B-J, and you text that to 69302. And emails. We got a lot of emails coming in tonight, and that's it. All one word. The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. And
I've got this scripture, and I'm going to pull it up also on my Bible program here so that we can read it out of the Message Bible. You know, there's just something, and that brings up a little bit of what we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, and that is how you really need to see things, and I recommend the Message Bible, see things not just in your King James or New King James, but you really need to see some things in a Message Bible too, where you can really get some great language that'll help make the words of Scripture really come alive to you, because we can really lose some things. Otherwise, look over here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Notice what it says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, it says, meditate on these things. All right, I'm going to give you a couple other scriptures here, and then I'm going to read that through the Message Bible. I like this here. It says, keep in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, those whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. I like that again. It says, keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. I like that a lot. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate day and night upon the words that have been given to you, that you may be prosperous in all you do and find good success. I like that too. Ezekiel 44 says, fix your mind on everything I show you, God said. That's wonderful. Say it again. Ezekiel 44, fix your mind on everything I show you. Jeremiah 17:10 says, the Lord searches the heart and tests the mind. And so I'm going to come back to, out of the Message Bible, Philippians 4 and verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, the importance of what we're bringing out to you is that your mind fixed on all these small little experiences of God all day long. Do you know, you may be wondering, what kind of things do I see? Well, I'm studying a lot. And I'm telling you, God will give me one scripture after another scripture after another scripture on this show. The Lord has reminded me over and over again, because BJ is his mind works about 1,000 miles an hour faster than mine does, and I don't think he ever contemplates anything he's going to say. It just all comes out as he thinks of it on the spot. And to a great degree, that's how it is with me as well. But I'm here in the studio. And he and I have commented about this many, many times, and it's nothing but God's grace. He'll say something, and I have no clue what he's going to come up with, and I just had looked up a verse, or I have a paper in my one of my little books here that I carry with me, and I pull it out at the very time he says something, and it's the exact verse that I need. I mean, I'm constantly throughout this whole show saying, thank you, Grace.
Yeah,
thank you, Grace. Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Grace.
You show up with a computer, with a couple of books, notes, pad and paper, and what do I show up with? Candy.
Well, I understand.
And Elaine, I got to thank Elaine. Elaine sent us a really nice card. Thank you, Elaine, for the nice card and the nice candy. It was great. I like the little dog paw Rice Krispie chocolate things.
She was thinking of you.
Just got an email. Showed up a minute ago. It says, Jim/BJ. So is this grace? ? I went to the store for my wife before coming home. As I'm walking to the cashier, I get caught behind a mother and daughter, walking slow. I passed them and said hello and got to the register first. They came up behind me to get in line. I turned around and let them get in front of me, and the other cashier takes care of them. That cashier I was waiting for rang me up and was able to leave before anyone else. I was in a rush, but not uptight about it. However, I believe grace sped things up for me. So is this grace? This is great. Interesting show tonight. They are all, but tonight is really resonating. And this is from Devin in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, yeah, that's grace.
And the biggest reason why grace would work there is because you didn't care.
No, because, see, there's another way this could have went.
Sure, lots of ways.
I'm in a hurry, and I can't believe these two women are dragging their
and
back
you're,
pockets.
You're frustrated, which is nothing more than drama.
Yeah, don't they know that people have places to go?
Negative emotions.
And then you would have missed this altogether. But yet, look what happened to Devin here.
Yeah.
He decided to look for grace. And when he did, grace was there. We got our first text message of the evening on the Ken and Lori dedicated text messaging. For the next 4 weeks, it says, listening in from North Alabama. I have been listening to you all since last summer, and this is probably the best show ever. Enjoying grace is so... Well, then it stopped. So I guess we didn't get the rest
of the
text.
We'll get the rest of it in a minute.
Well, yeah, but some people's telephones only allow them to send so much. The instant text messaging works this way. The first word of your message. See, now this person, it says listening in. It said Jim BJ listening in from North Alabama.
Yeah.
And then they sent it to 69302. Just got another one. It says... thanks for the examples of grace in your day. It helps me. Here's another one that just came in. Paul and Andrea are out here in Minneapolis. Thanks for the awesome daily walking examples of grace. Air temp here is 10 degrees. See, I wish I was there. You know what's fun when it's 10 degrees outside?
What's that?
When you spit, it sticks and it freezes.
Huh.
Got another instant text message, and thank you. Seeing grace more and more. Okay, you guys are funny. This is from Linda DeVore in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Wow, all of a sudden we're getting... See, I was worried that maybe people with the Ken and Lori dedicated text.
Right.
I don't know what to do with the $100.
Right.
Well, I just think it should. Ken and Lori, if you're listening, all these text messages are because you're paying for the text message for the next 4 weeks with your check. Thank you so much. Let's check to see if we have, and just so you know, instant text messaging works this way. The first word needs to be Jim BJ. Then you send that to a five-digit number. 69302 goes in where the telephone number would normally go. Emails theabidingpresence@gmail.com. All one word.
Okay. I want to bring something up here. And
I got more examples of grace, too. So go on. Yeah.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
I want to bring something up here. We talked a little bit about it earlier. All right.
And is it something to do with the Rice Krispie squares and barbecue potato chips?
In a roundabout way. No, I don't think so.
You're lying.
I don't think so.
You're lying again to me.
No, I just said I don't think so.
See, folks, we need a ruling here. Ranger needs to start talking and keeping you in line, mister.
Hey, Ranger woke up. So
lucky it's your radio show.
He's got something I'm sure to share.
I'm just a poor, innocent little cowboy trying to scratch out a living.
Right.
That's
and,
me.
And everybody's enjoying that. Okay, so 2 Peter and chapter 1. I want to share this with you. This is a real interesting thought here. Everybody, don't allow your feathers to get ruffled with this. But, you know, you got to be real careful how you read certain things in Scripture because there's wordings that can make you spin around in circles. And if you quote it and you actually preach it the way that it's written, I mean, it literally can make you sound really good, but you won't get the essence of it. And I'm going to read something here out of 2 Peter chapter 1. And you just tell me, you can write in on the instant text messages or you can email us. You tell me what you think about it. But listen to this, the difference here. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. All right. I'm going to stop right there after verse 2. Listen to this out of the message and see the emphasis. I, Simon Peter, am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours, all due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. And BJ, you and I talked about this, how look at the difference of words.
Yeah.
One puts an emphasis on the deepening of an experience.
Yeah.
And the other puts emphasis on words that literally can make you go around feel good, but you just have the knowledge of God. Like, for instance, I say all the time, it's not just about worshiping the idea that God is there, the knowledge that God is there. It's worshiping a person. He really is.
Yeah. This goes to a rudimentary problem with that I feel that makes it hard for people to advance their relationship with God because organized religion, the only way, and see, here's the thing. If I was to start an organized religion and I wanted it to be successful and I wanted a lot of people to be a part of it, and I had to make sure that I was going to give it 100% of my time, so it was going to have to provide for me and Ranger, and I wouldn't be able to bell and sell hay and work with horses, so the only way that I could keep this ranch afloat was I was going to have to get a salary from it. And it was, and if I was married or had kids, it'd have to support
provide
things.
For them, yeah.
Well, then I'm going to need a staff because we're going to need lots of people. Well, what I'm doing is I'm creating a corporation. I'm creating a business. And this business has to sustain itself. There is nothing about that that's spiritual. That's all worldly. Because it says, don't worry about what you eat, what you sleep, where you wear. I'll take care of it. If I take care of the flowers of the field and the
right.
birds and the bees
right.
and the trees, why wouldn't I take care of someone that's doing Christian work? It's this misconception of dedicating one's self to Christ. Why they don't see grace. How can you see grace if you think that the only connection you have with grace is a building somewhere? Now, I'm going to even get a little deeper here and a little more serious for a second. If all of you that are listening to this show right now, if you think this radio show is the do-all, see-all connection to God, you're missing what Jim and I are talking about. Because there should come a point
right.
where you have fond memories of this
right.
show.
Right.
And that maybe you listen once in a while just to see what kind of ridiculous, crazy things Jim is going to say. And it actually isn't needed in your life with God.
And that's the part that we really want right there.
Because I'll give you more examples of how your life gets in the way of recognizing grace. Okay, I'll give you another example. And this happens to just about everybody. But it's hard because I spend all my time in the country. I've never, been really part of quote-unquote city or town living. But I'm just kind of just making some examples here. Okay, you're in a hurry to... I'm glad I've never had a job. I'm glad I've worked for myself my whole life. I would have been a terrible employee. dress code, lunch hours.
Right. It wouldn't have worked.
No. Every report card I ever got said A, but A's on it, but it also says does not work well, play well with others. But anyways, you're on your way to work, and you are in a hurry. And you walk into the place where you get a donut and you get a cup of coffee on your way to work. And there is somebody that's taking too much time. They're making a mess. And you start to look at your wristwatch. And you realize that you're running late. And that you have to make a choice. Either you're going to be late for work or you just have to walk out of the store and not get your normal coffee and donut on the way to work. Well, then, now you're really upset. Every car that gets in your way, every yellow light that you miss, everything that goes wrong, you equate it to that person. Because this is all taking place in about 15, 20 minutes. What about that says anything about God or grace? What about the fact that you're healthy enough to drive a vehicle without hand assistance? What about the fact that you have a job? What about the fact that you can afford to have a coffee and a donut every day? What about the fact that chances are that more than likely you're one of the healthiest, happiest people in that store in the morning because you have a relationship with God?
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is recognizing grace and recognizing the qualities of your life that most people don't ever recognize. Because think of this. If you recognize the insignificance of grace, if you recognize the positive things, that you have enough money for a donut and coffee, because I guarantee you there are people passing that store in the morning, they wish they could have enough money for a coffee and donut. You're going for pizza. You're going out for lunch with your coworkers. There's always somebody sitting in their car eating a sandwich from home. Do you ever thank grace for these luxuries, for these amenities? Because if you don't recognize them as such, how can you recognize the big things if you don't acknowledge the small things? Because if you start acknowledging these small examples of grace, do you know what God's going to do? He's going to shovel them at you. The worst habit that a Christian has is saying, thank you, grace. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. There's grace. There's grace. There's God. Because if you're recognizing those things, you don't recognize the clock on the wall.
Let's stop there for just a second, because I want to interject a thought. And that is, by being in more religious atmospheres all my life, we definitely have a real strong teaching on being thankful. But here's what we're thanking most of the time, what we're saying thank you for. We're saying thank you, Lord, because we're believing by faith that something is going to be accomplished. We're saying thank you, Lord, because we're believing that the arm is going to get better. So thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. I know I'm well, I know I'm well, I know I'm well. Or thank you, Lord, I know that my house is going to be paid off. Thank you, Lord, I know.
Yeah.
Now notice the difference. Again, it goes back to what I just shared with the two different type of Bibles. One, it's not that you couldn't, if you really got into it, couldn't figure it out. But one was difficult. It spun you in circles and really didn't produce intimacy. The other is nothing but go deeper in this experience with God. Look at what you're thanking God for. You're thanking God because grace is actively 100% all the time doing things for you. Mm-hmm. And you're paying attention to it. The other guy is thanking God for something that he's trying to hope that someday might happen.
One of the things that grace has done in my life that we've never talked about, and I don't know why, it's not like it's a big secret or not, is this radio station at the ranch.
Right.
Where I came up with the money for this is I don't know, because it wasn't in my budget. And I mean, yes, we're in a barn, and we're on a horse ranch, and we're out in the country right now, but what people don't realize is that there isn't a radio station in the United States that has higher quality, more expensive broadcasting equipment than is in this barn right now. I mean, it's all this equipment is only 7-8 months old, and it's high tech. I got the best microphones, the best microphone stands, best computers. I mean, we're rocking. I mean, there's, you know, people don't, I mean, they don't know because there's no photos, but I mean, this is not, I mean, this is a high-dollar, first-class Mercedes-Benz broadcasting studio, and Grace provided it. But my point being is we're getting more text messages. Thanks, BJ and Jim, for the great everyday examples. The Message Bible is way better and easier to understand. That's a text message that came in. But this is what I'm trying to tell you about Grace. Is this was my attitude. Everybody that sold me this equipment, all the companies that sold me this equipment that just deals with radio stations, they said, your barn isn't clean enough for this soundboard. You can't turn a room in a barn into a radio studio. The sound will be terrible. You don't have enough electricity power in your barn. Your barn is you know, too old, and you know, you can't do these things. And I would just look at him, I'd say, you know, if I'm talking about Christianity and if I'm doing a fairly decent job, why wouldn't God make sure the barn was okay for this? And most of the time people would just shut up. They wouldn't know what to say. And a few people would say, I get what you're saying, I get your point of view. We just got an email here, and we got to help this lady out. It says, about using grace, I am a careless driver, and I experience grace daily. Huh. And this is from Marina that's in England.
Okay.
Do you know why she's a terrible driver?
She's on the wrong side of the road.
Yes, they drive on the wrong side of the road.
I know.
That's why they're having problems over there.
Yeah.
But that and we got another email here that Jim, this one I'm really excited. I want to read to you.
All right.
This comes from Devin in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. Yeah.
And we've had some texts from Georgia, by the way. It says, I'm starting to realize grace is everywhere to be found. And it says, this is life-changing. We received that about 6 minutes ago. Emails, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Instant text messaging, the first word of your message has to be just Jim BJ, no spaces, J-I-M-B-J. And then the telephone number is 69302, five digits, no area code. Jim BJ, first word, 69302. Poor Marina in, you know, middle of the night. Well, she's having driving problems because she's sleepy. It's the middle of the night.
Right.
She needs a... I have all kinds of handy advice for that girl. If she's still listening, if she hasn't.
Right.
You know, just gone back to sleep and, you know. But, all right, folks, I want to ask you a question here. You've been listening to Jim's show now for exactly 1 hour and 30 minutes. And this is the question I want you to answer. Now, if you want to respond with an instant text message or an email, great. I encourage them. We love them. You can't text and email enough as far as Jim and I are concerned. Right, Jim?
No, we like the text messages.
But
emails, too.
Yeah, this is the question I want to ask you. And I want to be serious for a second here. If you're listening for 90 minutes out of your life that you can never get back, there's no coupons. This isn't buy one, get the second one free. You have literally lost 90 minutes out of your life expectancy. If you're listening to what Jim's show is saying for the last 90 minutes, this is my question. If you agree with it, if it makes a little sense to you, this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you just to take a deep breath and close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think about how many things in your life over the last 20 hours, 24 hours, have been okay. The toast didn't burn. You stepped out of the bathroom and you forgot and there was a towel there. You thought you were out of toilet paper and there was one roll left. You found a penny on the ground. There was hardly any shopping carts in the store, but there was one for you. They weren't quite out. You got pulled over by somebody because of your driving and they let you go with a warning. You found out that the mistake you made at work wasn't that big of a deal. That the schoolwork that you thought that was so important turned out to be not that important. And you think that that's luck. You think that you got lucky or that you dodged a bullet or that something turns out that it isn't a mountain, it's a molehill. Why not thank God? Why not just risk it? Start thanking God every day for these little unimportant, you could care less about these little things in your life. And just see what happens. What have you got to lose? Obviously, things aren't really perfect because if they were, you wouldn't have listened now for 93 minutes.
You know, there's a scripture over in Philippians.
Was that okay?
Yeah, it's really good. It just stirred me about getting...
I'm out of candy, so I'm getting serious.
Okay. Well, there's some real good things here over in Philippians, and it talks about rejoicing in the Lord, and again, I say rejoice. Paul, many, many times throughout his writings, he'll go right back to reminding people, and this is really what's being said. And again, that's one of the reasons why I brought up the point about the Message Bible being helpful, because it seems to help bring people to more of a relationship with God. But Paul is reminding people to keep their spiritual antenna up in the air. He says things like, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And he's constantly getting people to give thanks unto the Lord always. And this is exactly what BJ is saying. Thanksgiving is your voice of acknowledgement of God. We used to say thanksgiving is the voice of faith. And it is. But I really like you to begin to just reapply the whole idea of thanksgiving as the voice of your acknowledgement of God's influence in your life. What a tremendous way to change. And this is kind of like throwing a change-up pitch. You know, instead of just throwing the fastball, you throw a change-up where it comes in slower and it moves maybe left to right or right to left. This is a good change-up right now for those of you that have been practicing always saying, thank you, Lord, for what you're believing. Why not begin to thank the Lord for what he's doing? Acknowledge that God is ever present in your life. You know, we do have a scripture that is extremely absolute, and you could call it one of the pillars of the church over in Matthew in chapter 28, where Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. You know, today it's very interesting. We talk about acknowledging God's grace, and as I was going to get my hair cut, I was walking past a cat on the sidewalk that was rolling around in the sun at 25 degrees, enjoying her little life. And I had to say, that's grace. Well, what's grace? That God would grow her a fur coat for winter, where she could be out in very cold weather and in the sun enjoying all of it and not worried a bit, not cold at all. Having a really good time. That's grace. I mean, just as simple as God taking care of that cat with provision. You don't think he's going to take care of you all day long with provision? I mean, how simple was that to listen to BJ talk about that donut that you had or that biscuit that you had or that extra, you know, ability to order food when maybe someone else doesn't have any food at all? And maybe you even threw a piece of pizza out. Folks, we need to be thankful that God's influence is in our life every day, because every bit of it will begin to deepen your relationship with God, because it makes you cognizant and aware that he's there. The more reality that you have that God's with you, the easier it is for you to begin to experience him.
Just got another one here from Atlanta, Georgia, from Devin. It says, exactly. I just asked myself that question right after I sent the email about grace being everywhere. Thank you, God, for everything you are doing in my life. See, I like this attitude of this guy. He's doing pretty good. Okay, folks, want to let you know, just a little housekeeping here. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Hardesty Regional Library on Memorial. Jim, you're going to have one of your little groups, right?
Yeah, one of the Bible studies. And again, remember, that's the last time we met together. We had one of the fellows there that his little fatty tumors there on the side of his neck had three of them. They just disappeared. So this is even without actually ministering to people. Folks are getting it. They're starting to understand God's grace, just like we're talking on the show.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting, and I want to share people something about grace. When I came up with the idea that you should do this on a Wednesday, and I said, I'll find you a place, and I found you a place, and it took like 5 minutes, remember? And I said, that's grace. Well, we went to the library. We had to fill out a form for library cards. They said that it took two people, and you both had to have library cards. Well, they wouldn't give me a library card because what was I missing? An address.
Yeah, an address.
I had to prove
you
I
had a P.O. box.
Yeah, I had a P.O. box, and I lived out in the country, and they said that you needed a real address.
Right.
Because I guess I looked like I live in a box under a bridge. Well, guess what? I never did that.
Well, you never sent in the address.
Yeah, well, I never sent in an address. I never filled out the forms.
Yeah, I know.
And I didn't, because you know why? Because I knew. I said, all right, look. If this is something for Jim, and this is grace-based, then I don't need to jump through a bunch of little hoops just for a ridiculous piece of paper that says library card on it. And how many Wednesday nights have you been there now?
13.
Well, that's my lucky number, 13.
Yep, 13.
Yeah. Just got a, Paul and Andrea, who are in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
I hate to say this, but I call them the kitchen counter couple. I just like the way it sounds.
Yeah,
the kitchen counter couple, Paul and Andrea, they say fantastic show. And folks, I just want you to say, all the text messages we've received is a thank you to, okay. This is it right here. This is the check. This is what you're hearing, the check. And this is from Ken and Lori. And you know what? Their street doesn't start with a Q. It's a numbered street. They live on a street number 39. It's Ken and Lori, and they're in the Tulsa area. And I want to thank them for. I wonder if they're listening. Well, I guess we would have heard from them. But the next 4 weeks is dedicated to them because I'm using this check to pay for the instant text messaging, and I'm glad people are enjoying it. Let's see if we got any emails, Jim. Jim, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
You're going to Kentucky.
Right.
When are you going to Kentucky?
I go to Kentucky Friday, real early in the morning, and I get back Monday.
And where are you going in Kentucky?
To Lexington.
Okay.
We're doing some youth meetings Friday night, Saturday.
What's the name of the place? You don't even know.
Oh, I don't usually know those things until I get there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying because if you're there and you mention the show, they might like log on and listen. Be kind of nice if they heard, you know, one of the greatest all-you-can-eat buffets. I know the words buffet. I just like to say buffet. One of the world's greatest buffets is in Kentucky.
It is.
Yeah. It's called the Moonlight Buffet.
Really? Whereabouts in Kentucky? Do you know?
Yeah, it's in the northern part of the state. I used to go to Kentucky once a week and buy 400-pound calves and haul them back here and get them all vaccinated and legal and everything, and then turn around and put about 100 pounds on them and sell them for a lot of money. I used to do that once a week. Hmm. Yeah, I'd eat at a Chinese restaurant in Missouri, and then I would eat at a Chinese buffet in Missouri, and then I'd eat at this place called the Moonlight buffet or buffet restaurant something. And I can't remember the name of the town, but yeah. Evansville. Is it Evansville, Indiana?
Evansville, Indiana.
Yeah, but that's right on the border.
Yes, it is. And there's a truck stop right there and maybe major highway.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah, Evansville, Indiana.
Yeah.
I go there too. I got
really?
Yeah, some great folks that are there in Evansville.
But yeah, I would go and I'd drop down into Kentucky to this little town, and on Thursdays, they'd have their cattle sale, and I'd buy about 30, 40, 400-pound little bulls and heifers. And of course, you know, the little bulls, I'd change those into steers, you know?
Right.
Okay, and that's important for people to know on this show. Jim, I want to ask you this question. What are you going to do for grace? How do you help people find grace? Because you do something that I don't do. I'm not sure I'm capable of doing it. Because, you know, I'm really not a people person. How do you, as a, what are you? Rabbi? Rabbi Jimmy?
No, just a minister.
Okay. Well,
Reverend.
Reverend? Are you really a reverend?
That's the title, yeah.
Can you, like, marry people and everything?
I can, yes.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. You get yourself a nice little gal, I'll marry you.
Yeah, they're just lining up at the ranch gate.
I was watching that.
Yeah. Who wants to spend their life working horses and working with hay and living out in the middle of nowhere? Yeah, they're just lining up to do that. When it comes to grace, it must be really difficult when someone is just drowning in doctrine and religion. Because it goes back to that humbling experience of acknowledging you're wrong. Because how do you tell somebody there's wrong when they don't think there's wrong, and there isn't anything about their organized religion or the structure or building where they go that verifies that they're wrong?
Yeah. Well,
how do you combat that?
Well, first of all, for years, you know, I've dealt with having a message that's a little bit different from most people's. And it's always been the testimonies that have been the proof for me. Because while we're helping people to get testimony, visible things happening instantly, right there in front of them, that's always been, well, it was in the Bible times too. Think about Peter and John as they entered into the temple on the day of worship. And there was a man laying there that was paralyzed from his mother's womb. And they raised him up, and everybody knew it, and they began to worship and glorify God. And all the religious people came and wanted to kill Peter and John. But they said among themselves, a notable miracle has taken place. We can't hurt these guys. And they were ticked because they really wanted to do harm. Well, that has always helped. And even now that my message has really grown and increased in its productivity over the last year and a half, as I'm preaching about the grace of God, BJ, one of the most amazing things is people are getting touched right in the services. God is, think about it. Think how, in a sense, how hard this would be. You go into a building or a church, and you have a weekend to be there. And, I mean, I'm talking about maybe four services, maybe five at the most.
Right.
So your time is limited.
Oh,
so
yeah.
How much can you say? And
how much
can you do? Well, it's very limited.
You could almost flood them with stuff that they just, their eyes roll back in their head and it goes in one ear and out the other.
Well, I've mistakenly done that at times. And those are the most unproductive services where you go too far.
Right.
But what I'm saying is the most wonderful thing is when you bring the demonstration. Paul even made a comment about that in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and around verse 5. He said, I didn't come to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith wouldn't be in the wisdom of words, but in the power of God. And so while I'm talking about the grace of God, things like we experienced Wednesday when those growths disappeared in that young man, well, that happens all the time. And if I need to, I'll actually minister to them just to show them that God is real. Because so many people, and you brought up a great point, so many people are struggling to experience God's grace in their life. And I'll tell you this, the comments that come to me from our show, what we did tonight, you know why people are saying it's one of their favorite shows? Because we gave them examples of grace. People are struggling to know, where is it? What is it? And when you say things like you do, and when I've shared some of the things I have tonight about God's grace, all of a sudden the lights come on and they realize, I am seeing it. And just that acknowledgement, they begin to see it more.
I think people really like your show, and I think they have a lot of respect for you because they dismiss all those crazy, ridiculous things that you just say off the top of your head that just go in any direction.
And I do that like the majority of the time for the 2 hours that we're here.
You do it all the time, and I think it's wonderful that they forgive you for that. Now, folks, Jim's going to give you up some positive words backed up with music here in just a second. But I got a homework assignment for you. I think this is going to help you. This is what I want you to do. You can use an ink pen, a pencil, a crayon. I don't care. Just grab something to write with. And I want you to take a piece of paper, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to start tomorrow, not today. And I want you to write down Wednesday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday until next week's broadcast. And for you that listen to this show other than the live broadcast, because it streams 24 hours, 7 days a week, I want you to do this when you listen to it. Whether it's 2 days or 5 days isn't the point. This is what I want you to do. At night, right before you go to bed, I want you to sit quietly. And I want you to take this piece of paper, and I don't want you to write anything other than the day, Wednesday, tomorrow night. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to put a little check mark or like a little X or something for every time that you can recall and reflect that you noticed grace or that looking back on your day, it was grace. So you're sitting on the edge of your bed and you have your piece of paper and a pencil and you say, you know, I almost slammed my finger in the car door. It was a near miss. And for some reason, I didn't get hurt. Make a little check mark. That's grace. Or you were running late for an appointment. And for some reason or another, when you got there, as you started to apologize and you were worried, you find out that they were running late. And so you being late doesn't mean anything at all. Make a little mark and say, thank you, grace. I want you to think about these things. You picked something hot up while you were cooking and you didn't get burned. You thought you cut your finger when you were slicing a tomato and you didn't. You were carrying something and you tripped, but you didn't fall. Somebody ran a red light and they didn't hit your car. I want you to think about these things and just make a little. You don't have to write them out. Just make a little mark. And then when it's Thursday night, look back at Wednesday and say, I noticed 3 instances of grace in my life. And then make an accounting of how many times grace you noticed on Thursday. And as every day goes by, you're going to notice more. And then all of a sudden, after 3 or 4 days, you're going to find that those days were pleasant. That you're not as upset. And there's no other way to put it. The junk, the crap, the BS of life, the garbage, the dramas, the issues of life are going to start to fade. They're going to become shadowy, like when the sun starts to drop in the sky every evening. And I want you to notice that grace has always been there. Your life isn't changing. You are. The world isn't changing. You're just deciding to look at it from a Christian spiritual point of view. Jim, say something to music, would you?
I'm going to read over here tonight. Instead of just a traditional type of prayer, I'm going to read over here in Philippians 4, verse 8. The Message Bible says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me and what you've heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Amen.
I thought that was great. What do you think of the show tonight? I thought it was okay.
I liked it a lot.
Okay. I want to thank Ken and Lori. I know why I said Q, because the envelope has a street Q, and the check has a 39th street.
Okay.
So they should know who they are. We got this email 2 minutes ago, and this goes to the heart of things. It says, you don't have to read this. Thanks so much, fellas. Very helpful show. I've really never listened live before. It is better like this, or perhaps just a really good show. But I feel so bad / disappointed for all of the years, time, wasted. I'd still be there wasting time if not for the show. No more time wasting. Take care. And it's signed Ron. Okay, this is the attitude that I want Ron and others to listen carefully. Okay, what is a worse situation? That you spend your entire life on the wrong road and you never have a relationship with God and you never even recognize or enjoy grace in your life? Or that finally you do? Which person would you rather be? What is a better path to be on? What is better, to finally recognize that there's a mistake and you can correct it and now things are just aces and peachy, or just to go through life clueless? I think there's something to think about there.
Yes.
Folks, I sure want to thank you for all of the emails and all of the text messages and all the things that, and folks, I am going to check the P.O. box regularly. The P.O. box is open. It works. I paid for a year fee, so it's not going to be closed like before. But do me a favor. If you do send something to the P.O. box, P.O. Box 68 in Bixby, Oklahoma, just send me an email, and we do check emails. The instant text messaging, thank you to Ken and Lori. It's only works during the live broadcast. Jim and I want to thank all the people that listen during the week, and we'll see you here next Tuesday night. Jim's going to be in Kentucky. I want a full report from Kentucky, by the way.
All right, you'll get one.
Folks, take care of yourselves and your animals, and enjoy the rest of your evening. And also, it's time for a special message from me, Jim, to your mom.
That's right.
Kathy Huckaday. Ranger, come here. Come on. Say hi to Jim's mom. Come on, girl. What do you say? What do you say? Come here. Here's the mic. What do you say? Oh, don't growl. What do you say? Come on. What do you say? Ranger. There you go. One more time. Bark, bark, bark. She's a little tired. She had a big day running around the ranch in the cold weather. Good night from the ranch.
Good night, everyone.
Take care.